Parshas Truma Tafshin Pei. Tonight's shir will be Eloi Nishmas Chaim Usher Ben Pesach, who has Ziyotzai tonight. One of my very close friends growing up in high school, and afterwards in yeshiva, his father who was Nifter when he was very young, and his eight kids in the family. His wife was an Almana. Last name is Baron. If anyone knows any of the Barons, a lot of boys.
Baron.
Levi and Benny, yeah. And Zalman. Chabad. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. His father was a big Chabad. Zalman's one. So this is Zalman. Zalman's one of my close friends. So father's neshama should have an aliyah.
Is your friend Zalman?
Yeah. Went to school together from first grade, maybe. Kindergarten. So it's Chaim Asher ben Pesach. His neshama should have an aliyah. The Torah should be for a Lila Nishmaso. And as well as Lila Nishmas Yisrael ben Shimshon Dov HaKohen. He was a boy in Brooklyn who was on Tamar with his father, and he left earlier, and he got hit, I think, on a bicycle or something on his way back by a car and was nifter. And he was 16-year-old, I believe, and terrible, terrible tragedy, and his whole family should have nechama. And the Torah should be for his Elias Neshama as well. So the Parsha Truma really starts a new section of Torah Shebichsav, where we start talking about the Mishkan. And the next five sedras, the next five parshias, really discuss the Mishkan, various aspects of it, and the Big Day Kahuna as well. And that's the focus, really, until the end of Shemos. And really, I think we saw the introduction to the Ramban at the beginning of Shemos, talking about how this is the conclusion, because the end of, really, the Sefer talks about the Hashras HaShechina of the Binyan HaMishkan, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is Ishara. Really the microcosm and the mini version of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah, we'll give a high-level overview of the Parsha, and then we'll dive into some of the Makaros. But Hashem commands Bnei Yisrael, Moshe, he instructs Moshe to accept the contributions from Bnei Yisrael for the construction of the Mishkan. A famous pasuk says, V'asu l'mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, that they should make for me a mikdash, a sanctuary, and I will dwell amongst them. And they got all the materials that they collected together, the metals and the dyed wools and the hides and the flax and the wood and the olive oil, the spices, the gems, all the various things that were used to make the vessels and the Mishkan. And Hashem then told them how to make the Mishkan and its various vessels with the Aron that housed the Luchos. And the and then afterwards talks about the menorah and the construction of the menorah that should be beaten out of one pure solid block of gold. And goes on, talks about the Shulchan and all the various Kalim that were in the Mishkan, all the details, the measurements, very, very specific. I think I once heard, Vart, as to why you look at how many Psukim the Torah spends on the Mishkan. It's incredible. All the details, the measurements over and over. And then it repeats it, the Vayakob Kudei, a lot of it. So many Psukim describing such precise measurements and everything. And you look at, like, Maaseh Bereishis, Hashem creating the world, it's all done in, like, I don't know, 20-something Pesukim, and it's over. And that's a much bigger deal, you would think, than the Mishkan being built, but we spent five parshias on it. And I think Ravan Cutler asked the question, and Ravan Cutler explained, because we know about Suli Mekdash, Shechadi, Besoichem, Besoichem is in each and every one of us, and that this is the tafkid of everything, of creation, is to bring Hashras HaShechina into our lives, into ourselves, into the world. And that's what the Mishkan represents, and that's what's really the ikkar and the purpose of everything, of the entire creation. The creation happened, Mimela, okay, it happened, but then what's it all about? Why is it there? So this is what it's there for. This is the tafkid. This is why there's so many different psukim and details that are there, is to show us the importance of everything going on in the Mishkan. So to start off, we also know we had Rosh Chodesh Adar this week, and this Marinayim that Chernobyl wrote, tells us a beautiful, beautiful pshat in Adar. What's Adar? So he really asks a question. If you look in source number one, it's in his Torah on Parshas Truma and his commentary there. V'zehu mishenichnas Adar marvim b'simcha. He says, he talks about this a little beforehand. He was talking about the concept, and he says, that's a mishenichnas Adar marvim b'simcha. When Adar comes in, we increase our sense of joy. Right? The diak is that all year round, the Jew has to be b'simcha. Therefore, and what do we do in Adar? We have to have elevated simcha. But of course, on a Tuesday in the middle of Shvat, you also have to be b'simcha. But now it's marvin b'simcha. And the same by Av, you're mematin b'simcha. You have to be b'simcha. You're memait. It's not like now you be b'simcha or now you don't be b'simcha. No, there's always simcha. That's how Jew has to live his life 365 days a year. V'hu t'mua. I don't understand, says Nehemiah 9. Bo. The Nes of Purim happened when? The 14th and 15th of Adar. So what is this concept of Mishenichnas Adar, when the month comes and starts, that's when we have an elevated and increased sense of Simcha. It should be only on the 2 days of Adar that the miracle happened, on the 14th and 15th, that we go ahead and have an elevated sense of Simcha. That's what we're celebrating. Why the whole month? The names of the month, he says, come from Bavel. Each month has its own reason why this month is called Nisan, why this month is called Iyar. Each one has an explanation, a hesber, as to why it's called that. So what is Adar? Says the Marinayim. Adar lama nikra kach ubnei shebechodesh ze nirmaz aleph dar. Aleph dar. Ratzon olomar, aleph means to say, what's Aleph Dar? The Aleph, Shehu Alufo Shel Olam, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? This infinite being in the world. V'kumo she'amar ha'kasev Alufo, Alufo, Aluf Naurei Ata, she'kashem she'os Aleph Hu Rishon L'chol Ha'otios, kach HaShem Yisbaruch Hu Rishon L'chol Ha'mintoyim. Just like the letter Aleph is the first in all of the letters in the Aleph base, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the first being to ever exist in the world, out of everything else, and everything else that was created came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zeu inyan b'chinas Aleph Dar, im ha-tachtonim, she-mashra shchinaso im ha-tachtonim. That's what Aleph Dar is. Aleph Dar, Adar is, it's nocturnon, it's a really short, it's supposed to, it stands for Aleph, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dar, where is Hashem? Dar, where is Hashem living? He's mashra shchina in the tachtonim, in olam hazeh, during the whole month. Not just on the 14th and 15th. And that's why there's this Mishenichnes Adar Marbim Simcha. Because when Adar comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to us. He's living amongst us during this month. It's easier to access Him. It's easier to go ahead and to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the entire month. Because Aleph Dar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is living with us. Mashe Shchinaso Im HaTachem. That's just to start us off for tonight. A nice idea. On Adar, our Chassidish Shetaira, we get in there for tonight. So if we move on to source number two, now to the parsha, pasuk says, "Vaydaber Hashem Moshe leimor perachav hey pasuk aleph, daber abnei Yisrael viichu li truma meis kol ish asher yedvenu libo tikchu es trumasi." Hashem tells Moshe, saying the following: "Speak to Bnei Yisrael, let them take from me a truma, a portion, from every man whose heart motivates him. You shall take my portion." So many of the mafarshim ask, on this lashon, v'yikchu li truma, you should take from me a portion. Bnei Yisrael, you should take from me a portion. Are they really taking something? No, they're giving me something. They're giving something. Hashem's telling Moshe, command Bnei Yisrael to donate things. It should say v'yitnu li truma. They should give me something, not take me something for them. What are they taking? They're taking nothing, and they're giving away materials, the gold, the silver, everything they have to go ahead and make contributions to make the Mishkan. So this is the kasha of many mefarshim. The Al-Sheikh himself asks it as well. In the first line, if you look in source number 3. So the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, he writes, Kim kol b'nei Yisrael lo chimiya nosi me'eret. So he says, Omro daber b'nei Yisrael v'yechu, Kim kol b'nei Yisrael lo chimiya hanosin, u'meharoi yomer v'yitnu li. He says, it should have said, it would have been more appropriate to say v'yitnu. Who's, if all b'nei Yisrael is giving, who's really taking? What is the pasuk talking about taking? So, he says as follows. He gives three answers to this question. Three answers that are three beautiful ideas and lessons for us. Amnam Elokei Yisrael Avinu Am Lamdeinu Lohayil Lamdeinu Eicha Navod Es Hashem B'maisa HaTzedaka. Hashem is teaching us how to serve Him in the aspect of giving tzedakah. L'man tzedakah techoshev lanu ki'ilu mamoneinu nitein lo yisbarach. That the tzedakah should be considered to you as if it was given to you by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki terem tinate biyad hagizbar, because before it was given to the person that's now holding it, right? Before the person received the money that he earned or worked and got, niske v'nikno so me'ito yisbarach v'shelon nitin lo. He really got it from someone else. He got it from the Ribono Shel Olam. So before I got a dollar in my bank account, before I ever got any money, it was really given to me by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, when I'm giving something of my own to tzedakah, or donating it to the Mishkan in this case, I'm not giving something that's mine because it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. He gave it to me. And now I'm just returning it back to its source when I'm giving it to the Mishkan or giving tzedakah to being mekayim a mitzvah in that way. I'm giving it as a gift that was given to me. Now I'm gifting it to somebody else. But I'm taking it's v'yikhu because I'm not giving something that's mine to someone else. I'm taking something from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now it's being so someone else is taking possession of it. That's what's going on. So it's a hashkafa in tzedakah that a person should have, because we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls how much money we have. The one that is it gives us everything we have. He's our mechalke chayim b'chesed. He gives us all our sustenance, everything we have that we live on in the world, and that's what the pasuk is teaching us. One idea from the Alshech. Second idea he quotes. Oh, Yom Rabbi Hakdim Shtei Hanachos. He says, "Ki be'emes im ish katon harach yitain matana l'sar v'gadol v'ikabel miyado." If think about a small person who goes ahead and gives a matana, a gift, to a very important person. He gives a gift to an officer or to a king, right? And the king accepts it. Halo hanoisin l'mekabel yachshov v'masha choshev mimeno hechshivo l'kachas miyado. The person who gives to that gift is going to be thinking and considerate that it's so chashuv that this guy took it from me. It wasn't beneath him to take my gift. He accepted my gift. The noisin, the person who's giving, is getting hana'a from giving. Kasher chachamim yagidu, as the Gemara in Kiddushin says, that normally when a man marries a woman, the man has to go ahead and give the woman something, and she has to receive hana'a in order to get married. But there's one exception. There might be more than one. There's at least an exception, at least one exception, that if someone is mekadish an isha, and v'nosna hi v'amar hu, she gives, and he says, im adam chashav hu mekudeshav. If he's an adam chashav, then the kedushin is chal. The marriage works. Because the fact that he's accepting her gift and he's an Adam Chashuv, she's really benefiting and enjoying the fact that she's getting pleasure from the fact that he's taking what she's giving him. That's the halacha. And it's like he's saying and he's giving. So says the Al Sheikh, the same thing is going on here. When we're giving, and this is a yesod in life, that when a person gives, you're really taking, because you're benefiting. I worked in Camp Hask for a few summers. And those summers, I mamish, you give everything. My campers didn't speak. My campers didn't know how to say thank you. They couldn't talk. They couldn't say. Parents said thank you, and that was very nice. I didn't do it for a thank you, but like, you mamish get nothing in return. You're just giving, 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 changing diapers. You're going ahead and schlepping them and carrying them and pushing their wheelchairs and bathing them for 7 weeks straight. And at the end of the summer, who benefited the most? Who received the most? I did. No shaila, no question. I got the more out of it than them because I was the giver. Hanoisin, the famous Zvart from Rav Dessler, that Ava is built on giving, not taking. You think, how do you create a great marriage? Oh, you know, okay, keep buying me things and I'll love you. No, you have to be a giver. You have to be a Hanoisin. Hav is a sheirish of Ava, and Hav in Aramaic means to give. And that's what the Vart is here from the Alshech as well, that when you give, you benefit, so it's like you're taking. And the third idea, which could be the most powerful idea, and maybe we'll say it outside just so we get to more ideas, but he says that what are you taking? When you're giving, what are you, v'yikhu, you're taking schar in Olam Haba. That any time you do a mitzvah in Olam Hazeh, especially contributing to Mishkan or any mitzvah for that matter, you're going ahead and you're receiving. It's v'yikhu. Why? Because you're taking schar that's going to last you l'olam v'od. You're giving some material wealth up now. It's not going to go with you to the grave. It's going to be left in this world anyway. And what are you getting in return? Schar for an infinite amount of time. It's never going to go away. It's the best investment you can make. The markets this week were crazy. Down, coronavirus. Down, 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 more down. The best investment you can make is mamish. Any mitzvah, but in this case, it's the mitzvah of giving to the Mishkan, because the return is there's it's an unlimited, infinite value that you can't even you can't there's no fair market value of it, right? or anyone who's in accounting or in finance, you can't evaluate what the value of a mitzvah in Olam Haba for you. It's an infinite amount. So that's really what the Avshich says is the third idea in Ve'yichu is that you're taking schar in Olam Haba. That's what you're. That's why the pasuk says that, and you're exchanging your physical wealth really for spiritual wealth that will last you l'olam v'ayin. So three beautiful ideas why it says Ve'yichu, not Ve'yitnu. One idea is that you're not giving because it's Hashem's. He gave it to you, and now you're just returning it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a gift given to you in the first place. Second idea is that when you're giving, you're going ahead and benefiting because the Nisein gets Hana'a from going ahead and giving. And the third idea is that you're getting Schar in Olam Haba when you do something and a mitzvah like this, and especially to donate something to the Mishkan. So you're getting ultimate reward there. The Beis Halevi in source number 4 elaborates on this last idea of taking getting schar in Olam Haba for mitzvahs that you do, and you could look at it on your own time if you'd like, but it really goes on to discuss why it says v'yikhu li truma v'lo amar v'yitnu li truma, and he says that what you have with your money is really what you do with your money, what you give as tzedakah with your money. And it's an important lesson because we all get caught up with the gashmias in the world and with the material wealth and the working world especially. But our priorities need to be set straight. The money isn't going with us. Of course, we need to live. We need to pay for our expenses. We need to support ourselves. That's a holy avoda to do that. But in the end of the day, you're really the only wealth that you're taking with you is the tzedakah that you give. That's it. The rest is staying here. Go to your children and grandchildren. But you're not taking it with you. Just the tzedakah. That's what you're taking to the next world. So that's the first idea tonight on a couple ideas, but on Ve'yichli Truma. So moving on to source number 5. Pasuk says, Avnei Shoyam v'Avnei Miluim La'ifod v'Lechoshen. These precious stones, the Shoyam stones and these filling stones were for the Eifod and the Choshen. So the Erechaim HaKadosh in source number 6. So now we have two HaKadoshes tonight. The Alshich and the Erechaim. Says the Erechaim. He wants to know, Tzarech Ladas, Lama Kosa Avnei Shoyam v'Avnei Miluim B'Seder Acher Kol Hayir Alef Minim U'min Aroi Hayolo Sedram Koydim Azoha V'Chesev Ki Heim Ulim Ahem. He wants to know, why is it that the Torah mentions Avnei Shoyam v'Avnei Miluim after everything else, at the end? It mentions all the other types of contributions. Zahav, v'chesev, v'choshes, v'schelis, v'argaman, v'soloshani, v'sheshizim, v'arizelim, v'adavim, all these different, and the most valuable of them all is the Avnei Shoyam v'Avnei Miluim, these precious stones. So why did Torah wait until Pasuk Zayin to tell us about them, and they didn't mention them earlier, especially if they're more valuable than them all? So he gives a couple answers. The last answer is, I think, for me, the one that talks to me, that speaks to me the most. But he first says, "Vulai kilutzat shematzinu shanasim heviu oisem b'achrona kisher Rashi v'Yisrael kol tzerech l'mishkan v'tzimtza shamru zal shehekpir Hashem azev v'chaser es os achas mehem v'hanasim k'siv without a yud v'luzes sidrum Hashem b'achronam lomar kihem l'mata mikula mehatam atzmo shem b'achrona v'havim." He says, famous idea that the Nesiim had an attitude of, let's wait and see what's left at the end to give, and then we'll find out what's left, and we'll give. And one might think, that's a great havim, you know. I'll go ahead and I'll give what no one else wants to give. That's not how Avodas Hashem works. You have to run to do a mitzvah. You have to be the first one. Not to see, okay, is there any opportunity left now, and what's that opportunity? It's like the, you know, a meal train, the deal for the women. I don't know, just came to my mind. You wait, I'll see what night someone doesn't sign up for, because it's Erev Shabbos, or it's a Shabbos meal, it's more food. And then I'll sign up for that night. Let's wait for it to fill up. And then you check it a few days later, and the whole thing's full. You missed out on your mitzvah. So the Nesiim went to the end because they didn't have zrizus. They didn't go ahead and do it quickly. They waited for the rest of Klai Yisrael to contribute first, and then they contributed at the end. That's one pshat. But says the Arachayim HaKadosh, Od nir al pi devrayim zal, Shamar biyuma, Sha'ananim hayim mevim es avnei ha-shoham. The Gemara Numa tells us that where did the Avnei Shoyam v'Avnei Miluim come from? They fell from the sky. They came from the clouds. They magically just appeared. It was marmish like a nace. It was an ace. Im kein mishulchan gaboa hayim mevim b'lo tarech v'yegia v'lo chesron kisa asher al kein sider nidvasam acher kol nidvos shemevim machisam v'alidei tarech. So he says, therefore, since they came from above, down below, without any work, without any effort, without any investment on anyone's part, not giving up anything that you had, not contributing something and now missing something that you used to own. Therefore, they're listed at the end. Because everything else was given with Yegiyah and with Tarach, in whatever way. In Mitzrayim, when they got the different wealth from the Mitzrayim, when they were leaving. But everything else was there and was a person. So when a person has to go ahead and part with something that's theirs, so there's a certain sense of I'm giving something up. Yeah, it's a gevaldig avoid, but we're b'nei adam, we're a human being. So it's hard for a person to do that. But if Avni Shoyim, Avni Bilum start falling from the sky and I just give it away, okay, I didn't have it 5 minutes ago and now there was no Yigiyah, there was no Tarech, I didn't work hard to get it, I didn't schlep it with me from Mitzrayim until now, I didn't have it, it just appeared. And so there's no value in that. And we know that's true in life, that the more a person works at something, the more Yigiyah a person puts into something, the more that they'll go ahead and benefit from it, the more they'll enjoy it, the more return they'll get on that investment. We like to find shortcuts in life. People do. It's just, I think, a human nature, a natural tendency. A person wants to sometimes find an easy way out. Yiddishkeit isn't like that. It took me time to learn that when I was a kid. But there's no shortcuts. You have to put in the effort. You have to put in the giyah. You have to put in the tarach. And then you're rewarded. And that's why all the other kalim, all the other different materials come first. And only afterwards comes the avnei shom, avnei biluim. Even though they're more expensive, it's not important what's the most expensive, what's the most valuable and has a good fair market value. It doesn't matter. It's a matter of what went into it. What's the investment? How much effort was put into it? That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu cares about. That's what's important. So moving on to source number 7, says the Pasuk, famously, Va'asu lik mikdash v'shachanti b'seichem. Perikaf hei Pasuk Ches, that they should make for me a mikdash and I will dwell in their midst, amongst them, b'seichem. Says Rashi, Va'asu lishmi base kedusha. They should do it lishmi, for my name, for my sake. They should make this base kedusha, this holy house. So the Al-Sheikh, the second Al-Sheikh HaKadosh for tonight, in source number 8, goes ahead and says, after he questions, "V'shachanti b'soichem v'lo amr b'soicho." If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is talking about dwelling in the Mishkan, why doesn't it say in it? What is in them? What's in them mean? "V'hu ki hine shamati lomde mikan ki ikah hashras hashchina ba'adam hu." Says the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh that the Iker HaShoras HaShechina is not in the Mishkan per se, but it's in each and every Yid, in each and every Jew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know we each have a shtickel part of the Ribbono Shel Olam in us, Etzem Elokim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more of Him in us, to go ahead and to bring Him into our lives, to bring Him into the way we live, to the way we act each and every day. And that's what B'seicha means in each and every Jew. Hashem is dwelling amongst each and every Jew inside the neshama, inside of a person. Says Rav Moshe Sternbach though, in source number 9, in Tam Vadas, a different word. V'ayim b'sfarno, so he says, look at the sfarno, davar nifla. Shekoidim shechati Yisrael be'egel lo hayetzarech l'mishkan. Before B'nai Yisrael did chet ha'egel, they didn't need the mishkan. Kedei sheyishkon b'seichenu. That Hashem should need to dwell in the Mishkan. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says a pasuk, right, that any time that my name is mentioned in any place, I'll come ahead and I'll give you a bracha. I'm everywhere. Says Rav Sternbach, based on the Sforno's idea, after the Chet Ha'Ega, Kadosh Baruch Hu is mitzamtim himself. He no longer was in the whole universe, everywhere, in the same degree, measure, accessible in every single place, to the same on the same level. Simtzeim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechinaso Rak LeBeis HaMikdash. After the Chet HaEgel, Hashem said, you know what? As I guess it was part of the Oynish for the Chet HaEgel, this one I must be saying. Hashem is mitzamtzeim himself and said, now you have to come to, you want to access me, you want the best place, you got to come to the Beis HaMikdash. He shrunk the place and space of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we can go ahead and access him to the Beis HaMikdash. Umizem Musar Haskil, Dihine La'achar, Shibachatinu Harab Nechav Bis Mikdashenu Shivne Bimheri Amenu. Now says Rosh Tarmach that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and because of our sins, and we know and it should be built, Bimheri Amenu, Eina Shechina Shaira El Rabati Chnosios Urabati Midrashos. The Shechina is only Shaira where? In the many types of Beis HaMikdashes that we have, which are the Shuls and the Bati Midrashim that we have. Therefore, he says, "Im kein tzarich ledaktik lespalubate knasios v'matin drashos, she is kablu tefilasina beratzon shesham hu makom hashchina v'yamin." Says Rav Sternbach, a person has to strive and try extra hard to go ahead and to spend time davening and learning in a base Knesset and a base Medrash, because that is the place after the Chet HaEgel that the Shechina is Sheira. Vasuli Mikdash Veshechanti B'Seicham. B'Seicham means in the base HaMikdash, in the shuls nowadays, because we don't have base HaMikdash, in the Batei Midrashos. And a person has to make an extra effort to go ahead. Sometimes it's hard, or you want to learn at home, or you want to daven at home. No, the Shechina is Sheira here, right here in BTU. The Shechina is Sheira in Young Israel. The Shechina is Sheira in the base Knesset and base Medrash more than anywhere else in the world. And so a person has to go ahead and try their best, says their Sternbach, to go to the and their tefillah of Miskabel Yotzer Beratzon from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in if they go ahead and daven and learn in a base Knesset, base Medrash, which is the mini Mikdash. Moving on to source number 10. So talks about the construction of the Aron, the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach. There's a long kliyakar on this, and we'll touch upon some of it. So the pasuk says though, in Perakaf Hey Pasuk Yod, Va'asu Aron Atze Shitim, Amasayim Vachetzi Arkova, Amav Vachetzi Rachbova, Amav Vachetzi Komaso. She make an ark of wood, 2.5 amos in length, half a amma in width, and
one and a half length, and an amma, and a half.
Right, that you should put pure gold on the inside and from the outside over it, and make upon it a golden crown. So what? Then the next pasuk later on talks about the shulchan. V'asisa shulchan atzei shitim amasayim arkova amav rachbova amav achetzi komaso. You should make a shulchan of wood. So again, iron. You'll help me out here.
Two, one and a half.
So what do we have by the iron?
One and a half.
Okay, add them up, multiply by 7, divided by 4, what do you get?
That's
I'm just kidding. So, right, exactly. And then the Shulchan, okay, so keep those in mind. Everyone keep those in mind, because we're going to talk about that. And then the Mizbeach is what? The measurements? Vasas, Mizbeach, Atze, Shitim. Chamish, Amos, Orech, Chamish, Amos, Rochav, Revu, what? Revu, Yem, Mizbeach, Vishalosh, Amos, Komasa. Yeah, what do we have? 5. Huh?
Five by three.
Okay, but the pasuk says three. So if we look, it's very interesting. Now you can forget about the numbers, but just remember the concepts. By the Aron, everything, all the measurements are what?
Halves.
By the Mizbeach, all the measurements are what?
Whole.
And by the Shulchan, it's mixed. Some halves, some full. Says the Kliyakar, what is going on? That is the Kliyakar. Why is it so complicated? What are the halves and the fulls? Some halves, some fulls. So he asked the Kasha, and he it's a long Kliyakar, but if you skip down to the beginning of the third paragraph, he talks about the Aron. So he explains the Aron, that had halves. He says, Alkein hayu kol amos ha'aron shivuros. Why are they shover? Why are they broken? Why are they in halves? Lahira shekol adam yidden benasho ki luchasim in shlemos ha'chachma. Says the Kliyakar, we know that the Aron represents a ruchnius, really, like Torah, and a person should go ahead and never feel that they're shalom. They should always feel that they're chaser. They should always have the cheshek to grow more. They're always missing something. They're always working on something. They always have an avodah, whether it's an amida, it's in learning. They're always striving for more. So they have to view themselves as chaser. Therefore, by the Aron, all the measurements, all three of them, are chatzi, chatzi, and chatzi, to teach us this principle and this concept for a person to always feel like he wants to, he's not shalim, he wants to grow. And he quotes from the Baal HaMor, a famous line. I think Rabbi Nachman might have said something similar. Tachlis hayadiyah sheneda shalana neidacha. Right, that a person goes ahead, and the beginning of knowing that you don't know it, that you know nothing. Person wants to thinks they know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thinks they're on such a high level, there is so much Torah, so they know nothing. Right? A person, and when you start realizing you know nothing, then you finally know something. Said the Baal HaMaor many, many years ago. 1,000 years ago. 900 years ago. Rav Saratzkin, it's not here, but had a different idea. He said, actually, that the reason that Aaron has the half measurements for each of its width, its length, and its height, is because what was in the Aaron? The Luchos. And the Luchos are only half of Torah. Luchos represent Torah Shebech Tzav. But there's another Torah called Torah Shebaal Peh, all Shas, Shnayis, Shas Gemara. So says Rav Saratzkin, that's why it's Chatzi. To teach us that what's in the Aaron, the Luchos, are only Chelek of Torah. It's only half. The other Chelek, which was also given by the Ribbono Shel Olam and passed down, is Torah Shebaal Peh. And you shouldn't forget about that half. The Shulchan, we'll say it outside. Shulchan, we know, represents Parnasa. The Parnasa has, and the Shulchan, we said, has, Pasuk says, is mixed. Some half measurements, some full. Because when it comes to a Parnasa, you need to be like Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu said, Yeshli Kol, I have everything. Famous idea from the Kli Yakar. He quotes it. That needs to be your attitude. But the half by the Shulchan represents that you don't want so much. That you don't want so much. Kind of like the opposite idea of what he said by the Ruchnis. And the Mizbeach represents Shalom between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. And the Mizbeach, we said, is in full measurements and it's in whole measurements to represent that in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to be complete. It needs to be Shalom. There's no lacking. There's nothing missing. It's a complete connection and relationship that has that's wholesome. That's Shalom. A nice idea from the Kli Yakar on this concept of the different measurements of the Aaron, of the Shulchan, and the Mizbeach. So moving on to Rashi in source number 13, Rashi says, he quotes, Mibayis u'michutz tetzapenu, shlosh Aaron osasa betalo, shtayim shel zohav ve'achad shel etz, that the Aaron really had three different compartments, three different parts that Betzalel made. Two that were gold and one that was wood. And we know that the outside was gold, the inside was gold, and the middle, though, was made of wood. And that's in from the source number 14. The Gemara in Yuma, Daf Amad, Daf Ayin Beis, Amad Beis tells us, B'ayis mechutz titzapenu, Amar Rava, kol tamechacham sheino tocho kebaro, eino tamechacham. Rava learned this principle, this halacha from here, that any Talmid Chacham who's not Tocha Kabaro, he's not Talmid Chacham. Person needs to be the same through and through. Can't be different on the outside than the inside, just like the Aaron had gold on the outside and gold on the inside, says Rav in the Gemara. Talmid Chacham is not Talmid Chacham if he's not the same on the outside, and inside he's not Tocha Kabaro. So says the Chizkuni, what's this like wooden part in the middle doing then? Right, it's a little weird. Really, it's gold through and through. What about the wooden part? It's in the middle. It's not fully gold through and through. There's a piece of wood there. Says the Chizkuni, the Tzipiso Zahav, Roy Haya Ha'aron Lios Kulo Shazav, El Shaloya Kavid Lenaso, Vedino Lenase, Bekatav Kedachtiv, Kavadis Akoda Shalem, Katav Yiso, the Chinatino is Bech Shaya Nevav Luchos, Kede Shalom, Yehe Kavid. Says, if it was all gold, it would have been so heavy, it would have been difficult to carry. Says the Chizkuni that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and made it easier for them to carry. To go ahead and be sensitive to how difficult, I mean, it was still pretty heavy, two layers of gold, but if it would have had three, the shoulders wouldn't have been able to bear it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sensitive towards the weight of the Aaron to make it easier for the schleppers of the Aaron, the carriers, so it would be easier for them. Source number 16, the Yalkut Yehuda, though, or Yehuda Leib Ginsberg, has a different idea. And we'll say it outside just for time. It's a little hard to read the print also. But he quotes on top, actually, the Sforno. And then he says Zomsha. He says as follows. Sorry, the Chizkuni. And then he says Zomsha. Thank you. He says that what the Torah is teaching us from here is that, and Rav is teaching us, the halacha kol tamid chacham she'eino tocha kebaro eino tamid chacham, is that even a tamid chacham can have a layer of wood inside of him. Meaning, a tamid chacham isn't perfect. A Talmid Chacham isn't Zahav through and through. He's not Zahav on the outside, inside, and in the middle. He can mess up too. And the messing up is the wood. And it's okay to mess up. It's okay to mess up, and a person then doesn't do the same mistake again. He learns from his mistakes. But a Talmid Chacham doesn't need to be perfect. is what his vart is. That's why you have that piece of wood in the middle. It's because if it was all gold through and through, then Rava's statement of Kol Tamar Chacham, Sheino Tochek Kibara, Eino Tamar Chacham, you would think, Tamar Chacham, you can only be Tamar Chacham if you're perfect. I have nothing wrong with you. It's completely gold, inside and out, and in the middle. No, it doesn't have to be that way. You need to be gold inside and out. You could have wood. You could have a little wood. You could mess up here and there, and you could still be a Talmud Chacham, says the Yalkut Yehuda. So moving on to source number 17, and just looking at the time, we don't have a lot of time left. We'll quote this idea. If you look in number 18 and 19, the order of the different parts of the way that the Kalim are mentioned is very interesting. So in Parakaf Hei, Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Pasuk first talks about the Shulchan, then it talks about the Menorah, which is a little strange, right? Because if you look in Source 17, the Gemara Baba Basra tells us, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Harotze Shiachkim, Yadrim, V'Shiyashir, Yatzbin. Rabbi Yitzchak said that a person who wants to go ahead and become wise, and to become a Talmud Chacham, so he should face Darum. And a person who wants to go ahead and become wealthy, he should face Tzafon, north, right? And we know that the Menorah was Darum, so Menorah represents Chachma. And the Shulchan was Tzafon, and that represents Ashirus, represents Parnasa. Why does the Torah go ahead and talk about the Shulchan before the Menorah? I would think the Menorah is a little more important than Chachma, is a little more important, Chachma Satara, than going ahead and making money. If you look in source number 19, it's even stranger that when it talks about not making the kelim but placing them in the Mishkan, it says "V'samta es haShulchan michutz laparoches v'samenora noichach haShulchan al tzela haMishkan teimana al Shulchan titein al tzela tzafon." First, it mentions to put the Shulchan in general just outside the paroches. Then, where to specifically put v'samenora next to the Shulchan al tzela haMishkan teimana? Then it goes back to the Shulchan and says to put it next, I'll tell it Tzafon, to put it in Tzafon. It kind of reverses the order. It mentions a general concept about where the Shulchan should be, but then focuses on the Menorah specifically, and then the Shulchan specifically. So why this back and forth? So the Chasam Sofer, in source number 20, talks about this, and he says that, Yemen Kemach in Torah, even a Talmud Chacham, even a person who's obviously focused on his Avodah Hashem and wants to be focused on the Menorah, and Chachma, and achieving Chachma, if he doesn't have Parnasa, he's not going to be able to do that. If he doesn't have food to eat, he's not going to be able to live. So first, when the Torah is talking about going ahead and making the Kelim, it mentions Shulchan, and then it mentions Menorah, because Imen Kemachin Torah. But when it comes to placing it, you need to have your priorities in life right. You need to know, okay, yeah, now Imen Kemachin Torah is true, but what's Iker and what's Tafel? Or what's Iker and what's not even important, but I need? And the answer there is really where the menorah is placed, where it goes, and the details around that is mentioned first, and then afterwards it's only mentioned the shulchan and the details around that, because on priorities in life, clearly the shulchan is less important than the menorah. Shkayachol on coming, and everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos. Shkayachol.